You are listening to the Primitive Intelligence Podcast. I am Kurt, and this is the long-delayed and hopefully long-awaited Season 4. You may notice that this one is titled Primitive Intelligence Conspiracy, because that is the theme I'm going to run for this entire Season 4. We're going to talk about conspiracy theories. In this episode, 401, going to talk a little bit about the podcast and just give you a little bit of an idea of what it is and what I'm going to be doing, some changes I've made, and then we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of it. I guess that's a weird way of putting it, but of the episode, the conspiracy theory of conspiracy theories, and we're going to talk a little bit about team sports mentality and how it is going to apply. So about the changes to the podcast, been doing Primitive Intelligence, started it actually in 2013. We did two seasons back-to-back, me and my buddy Rocco. I haven't even told anybody I'm doing a fourth season, so obviously it's just me doing it right now, and we'll see how that goes in the future. I'm okay with doing it by myself. It comes down to that. That's fine. But I've made a couple of changes. So the first two seasons was basically just him and I sitting around talking either about things that have been going on in our day-to-day lives, a little bit of outdoor stuff. We every once in a while would actually research something and talk about it, a lot of tangent kind of related stuff, and it was just kind of a mixed bag of whatever you have. Season three, we took a pretty long hiatus. Things happened, took a hiatus, and then did a season three, which actually only wound up being three episodes because I was trying to work season three into my Outcast video live stream I was doing over on YouTube, and that's why season three was called Primitive Intelligence Outcast. It was really hard to make a live stream fit into a podcast, like an audio-only podcast, because I was interacting with a lot with people in a live chat. So even if I had things that I wanted to talk about, a lot of times they just got completely sidetracked and talking about different things because I never knew where that was going to go. So I really enjoyed that format, doing the live stream that way. So I just kind of did it as the live stream and stopped doing the podcast side of it. But I really like doing the podcast. So I want to keep with the idea of having a theme for it. So I don't know. Conspiracy theories can be fun. So I figured I'd touch on that. So that's what I'm going to do in season four. One of the other changes, the studio, I had this set up as a studio when I first started doing it and try to keep it as soundproof as possible. That is not the situation now. The windows, I had soundproofing over the windows and everything, and that's no longer the case. So there may be times when you're hearing outside sounds coming into the podcast. I've got a very basic setup here for the audio. Nothing as crazy as I had before. And then also there's, when we were doing it for the first two seasons, how you got a podcast out was really different than it is now. So that's actually simplified. It's available on iTunes. It's going to be available through the webpage. You can go listen to it just on primitiveintelligence.com if you want to do that. You can download it from there, or you can get the RSS feed and plug it into the podcast player of your choice. I use Podcast Addict for podcasts on my phone. I can just take the RSS feed, plug it into that, and then it pulls all that information for you. You don't have to go anywhere else. Just use that app. Or if you're using the Google Podcast app, if you have an Android phone, that we're listed in there too, or I'm listed in there too. The podcast is listed in there too. So you can just search Primitive Intelligence, and it will pull it down. You can download the episodes and subscribe to it right from there. And then I am focusing on the audio side of it as a podcast, not as a live stream, but I am also recording it. So I've got a fairly old webcam set up here that is it's struggling to keep up. So on the YouTube channel, if you come and watch the YouTube version of it, which is going to be the same audio, you just had the video feed with it, you'll notice that the screen is probably about 75% of the full size of the screen. And then there's a Primitive Intelligence border around the right side and the bottom, where I'll put some information up if it's pertinent to the video portion of it. But otherwise, the camera can't really keep up So if I move my head a little bit, like the bottom half of my head moves first and that top snaps into place, it's not the greatest camera. So I figure if not many people are watching the video, I'm not going to worry about it. But if I get a lot of feedback on a video, then maybe I'll upgrade a camera and we'll make that better. But those are the changes for the podcast. We're going to stick with the theme of conspiracy theories, and that's what we're going to do. So enough talking about the podcast. Every episode we'll do a little bit of a lead-in like this and talk about some stuff, but we're gonna just jump right into it now, into the meat and potatoes. So we're gonna get into the conspiracy theory of conspiracy theories in team sports mentality. We're gonna get into that right now. Conspiracy theory. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines it as a theory that explains an event or set of circumstances as a result of a secret plot by usually powerful conspirators. Also, a theory asserting that a secret of great importance is being kept from the public. This theory is new to me because not until I start looking up the first instances in literature of a conspiracy theory did I find out that there is actually a conspiracy theory about conspiracy theories. So to try to get into a format for this season, what I'm going to do is I'll give you a little background about this theory. And this isn't a huge theory. It's a pretty lightweight one as far as conspiracy theories go. But I want to go into the background of it. I'll look at it from the point of view of this is crazy. And then we'll see if we can give it a little credence. I want to try to approach these from both perspectives. So we'll just dive right into this one. This conspiracy theory has actually got two variations, one a little darker than the other. So one is that the CIA popularized the term conspiracy theory, and the other little darker one is that the CIA just outright invented the term conspiracy theory in order to fight the disbelief and the kind of accusations surrounding the Warren Report, which was the investigation into the assassination of President Kennedy. Basically, this was the first time in American history that a large percentage of people didn't believe what the government was telling them. They did their investigation, they released their Warren Report, it said that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, and people just didn't believe it. So a few years after the Warren Report, which came out in 1964, this memo came out, 1967, titled Countering Criticism of the Warren Report. And it was written to address the suspicion, public suspicion about the investigation. This is where people believe that the CIA started their onslaught of either popularizing or just inventing the phrase conspiracy theory. According to the article that I'm reading here, it was only one line in the entire memo that said anything about conspiracy theory. And that line went like this. Conspiracy theories have frequently thrown suspicion on our organization, for example, by falsely alleging that Lee Harvey Oswald worked for us. That is the only time that conspiracy theory is used in that memo. That's hardly evidence that they launched a campaign in any way, but that is the only time that it is shown. You got to look at the theory itself, and we're actually going to tackle the darker one first, that they invented the phrase. This article goes on to say that there's no evidence that the CIA popularized or invented the term, and that it's not very likely that a government organization could intentionally popularize a term or phrase. So looking at the first part of that, there's no evidence that they popularized it or invented it. That led me to an online tool that I kind of forgot about. And this is something that you can use for any research you're doing. If you know of Google Books, it's a project that Google has been doing for decades now, to digitally scan as many in-print books as possible and making basically cataloging the books. So you can go into this tool. It's called Google Books Ngram Viewer. Engram is one word, N-G-R-A-M, Engram viewer. And you can put in a search term, you can put in a date range, and you can put in a language, and then hit enter, and it's going to show you in that date range what percentage of books have that phrase in it. They must have not scanned books past 2005 or so. Looks like maybe 2012. Maybe it's because it's only good. Well, no, 2019. So 2012, maybe they haven't gotten to newer books yet to scan, or there's a reason why not, because it drops all sharply after that. But 2003, 2004 is the peak on this particular scan, on this search query. But if we go back to 1967, where it should be that the phrase conspiracy theory was invented, it is only about three quarters of the way, maybe a little more of the way up the first major spike that starts at around 1944 to 1972. There's a big uptick in the use of the phrase conspiracy theory. 1967 isn't even near the beginning of that. It's actually towards the end. So before 1967, we go back almost 100 years before to 1876 is the first time that the phrase conspiracy theory shows up in the books scanned by Google. So predating the CIA's Warren Report by nearly 100 years. Therefore, the CIA did not invent the phrase conspiracy theory. But this makes me want to go back and look at the second part of that phrase that I just read. It is not very likely that a government organization could intentionally popularize a term or phrase. I don't think that's true. I think a government agency, a corporation, a social media influencer could popularize a word or phrase. Just as easily, someone could vilify a word or phrase, giving it a negative connotation and changing the meaning of the phrase. And that seems to be what happened at some point. Originally, conspiracy theories weren't about people in power or governments subverting or lying to their people. It was the other way around. It was the conspiracy theories revolved around individuals or other groups plotting to overthrow governments or kings or other leaders. That was a conspiracy theory. And somewhere it changed. The roles reversed. And looking through, just quickly going through some web searches as I was kind of getting ready for doing this season, I wasn't expecting to do this particular conspiracy theory. But that change started to happen around the mid-1900s, around the time of the Kennedy assassination. Did someone intentionally start to mislabel conspiracy theories and conspiracy theorists as nut jobs so that if somebody did find information involving someone in power or a group in power lying to or trying to otherwise subvert the people, did someone try to make it seem that anyone who thought that way was crazy? That concept is plausible. At least to me, I could see it happening. Not saying it did, not saying that's what's going on, but it is obvious that for a long time in our history, to think outside the box, to question, was normal. It was what you're supposed to do. That's how you learn. That's how you grow. You get told something, you question it. You want to know why. You want to know how. You don't just want to have someone spit out a fact to you. You want to know the ins and outs of it. Now, that's frowned upon. You're just supposed to, someone says, this is the truth. You're just supposed to go, oh, okay, thank you, and move on with your life. You're not supposed to think anymore. You just take the information and then go on consuming. It's been turned around. This is where this idea that I refer to as team sports mentality starts to kick in. You get enough people who buy into an idea, and you get them to buy into the idea wholly, to be fully invested in it. They will fight for that idea, whether it's right or wrong, because at some point they're going to believe it for so long that the idea of being wrong about it is actually more painful than just learning the truth. So people will just fight for things, whether it's a sports team or it is a car manufacturer or it is a brand of clothes, a soft drink. I've seen people just say the nastiest things about other people because they liked something different. It's dangerous. It's very much the snake in the tree syndrome. I don't remember when it was. It's probably 15 years ago or so. I forget the name of the show. The guy was a mentalist. I think he was from England. And he did this social experiment where he went out into the street and he went to a tree and he looked up in the tree and he just kept looking up in the tree until someone came up to him and said, "What are you looking at?" And he said, "There's a snake in that tree." Now, there was no snake in the tree. So the first person's looking up and they're going, "I don't see a snake in the tree." And he just enough to get the attention of other people, looking up and pointing and going, "No, there's a snake up in that tree." Until somebody else came over and looked up. And of course, they didn't see a snake in the tree. Then someone else would come over and a few people come over. And then finally, somebody thinks they see a snake in the tree. Well, now that you've got two people to see a snake in a tree, doesn't matter if you got 10 people who don't see it, now you've got somebody who confirmed it, somebody else is going to confirm it, even if they originally didn't see the snake in a tree, until eventually almost everybody in that group, even though they knew there was no snake in a tree, they never saw a snake in a tree and there wasn't a snake in a tree, because they didn't want to be left out of the group of the team, admitted to seeing a snake in a tree. That's what's happening with things nowadays. It's all snake in a tree. I would love if people listening to this, if the only thing they learned from this was to question. Research themselves. Just because you see it on a meme doesn't make it true. Just because you see somebody on that you know on social media say something doesn't mean it's true. Just because you hear me say something doesn't mean it's true. I could have read the wrong thing. You don't know. I don't know. But you got to be open to the idea that what you know may not necessarily be correct. Our eyes and ears lie to us all the time. We misremember things. And it's very easy to get pulled into the team sports mentality and believe something just because enough people already believe it. That's where I'm going to leave it in this episode. Thank you for listening. If you have an idea or comment about what I talked about today, feel free to go to primitiveintelligence.com. I got a contact page on there, or you can come over to YouTube channel, leave a comment on the video. If there's a conspiracy theory you'd like me to talk about, look into, do the same, come check it out. I'm going to wrap it up here for this one, and I'm just going to leave you with saying, think more.